All right, think about this for a second.
Okay.
All the buildings that you've been in today,
Mm-hmm.
like probably your house,
Yeah.
maybe an office, a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, we spend something like 90% of our lives
Yeah.
inside buildings.
That's true.
And there's a whole hidden world of effort that goes into
But it's true.
keeping them safe and functional and running smoothly.
A lot going on behind the scenes.
That's right. It's facilities management, or FM for short.
Yes.
And it's an area that is going through a lot of change right now.
Yeah, it really is.
And we're going to take a deep dive into this today with the SFG20 State of FM report for 2025.
Yes, that's right.
And we're going to see what's going on in this sector.
Exactly. I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah, me too.
This is a really vital industry that, you know, really affects everybody.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I think the SFG20 report's a great place to start.
Yeah, it is.
It's got tons of data in it,
Yeah.
from people working in facilities management across loads of different sectors.
It's a really practical look.
Yeah, it's very practical, very hands-on.
Yeah, at what's actually happening out there.
Absolutely.
So to start off with, what's the big picture here? What are the
Okay.
big pressures
Yeah.
in facilities management right now?
Well, it seems like people are trying to keep a lot of plates spinning at the moment. There's this growing pressure to meet all these compliance standards and regulations. There's a constant drive to be more efficient with cost.
Right.
And then you've got sustainability as well becoming more and more important.
Yeah.
And at the same time as all this is happening, technology is changing so rapidly.
Right.
So it's a real challenge.
Yeah, it's a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest pressures, it looks like, is this area of compliance.
Yeah, definitely.
The report says improving compliance and safety is the top priority for FM professionals in 2025.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, with the building safety regulator coming in, there's been a real shift, I think, towards making sure that buildings are safe and reliable.
Absolutely.
It's not just a box-ticking exercise anymore.
Yeah.
It's absolutely essential.
Yeah. And organizations that aren't doing that are facing some pretty big risks.
Yeah, potentially huge risks.
Yeah. But we're also seeing the second highest priority is reducing operational costs.
Yes, that's right.
So it's this classic kind of push and pull, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you've got on one side the need for higher safety standards
Yeah.
and all these regulations. And then on the other hand,
Yeah.
you've got this need to keep costs down.
Yeah, budgets are tight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So how are these FM teams
Right.
kind of managing that tension?
Well, I mean, it's a real juggling act, as you say.
Yeah.
And the report really highlights this tension,
Yeah.
and that pressure that those teams are under to
Absolutely.
try and meet these competing demands,
Yeah.
you know, without breaking the bank, essentially.
Right. And what's interesting is the report seems to suggest that digital transformation could be part of the answer
Yeah, I think it can.
in terms of achieving better compliance and also saving money
Yeah.
in the long term.
I think you're right.
But obviously it's not just a simple fix.
No, it's not.
Is it?
There's obviously the initial cost
Yeah.
of all this new technology,
Right.
which can be a big hurdle.
Yeah, particularly when you're already struggling with
It's
tight budgets.
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation in some ways.
Yeah, so and moving on to something else that's a really big issue is sustainability.
Yes.
And this isn't just a nice to have anymore. It's really a core part of the conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
This drive towards net zero carbon emissions
Yeah.
seems to be a really big deal
Yeah, definitely.
for everybody.
It's fundamental to how organizations are thinking about facilities management now. You
Right.
know, thinking about how they manage their buildings long term, how they
Absolutely.
use energy, all of that.
And what's interesting, though, is the report points out that there's this sense that there's a lack of urgency.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and actually doing the work to get to net zero.
Yeah, so the awareness is there, but perhaps the push to actually make it happen
Right.
isn't quite there yet.
So why do you think that is?
Well, it seems like for a lot of organizations, the benefits of net zero are still a bit too abstract,
No.
you know, beyond just reducing carbon emissions.
Yeah.
I think to really get people on board, they need to see the more tangible benefits, like, you know, reduced costs,
Yeah.
increased asset value, things like that.
Right. So it needs to be framed as more than just
Exactly.
an environmental thing.
Yeah, that
It needs
just.
to have some business benefits as well.
Yeah.
And underpinning all of this, the compliance, the costs, the sustainability, is the whole issue of asset management.
Yeah.
And And it seems obvious that if you don't know what assets you have
right.
and what condition they're in, it's going to be pretty hard to manage all these other things.
Oh, absolutely.
Effectively.
Yeah. The report's very clear about that.
Yeah.
Good asset management is crucial mm-hmm. for, you know, meeting your compliance requirements.
Yeah.
Managing your costs efficiently.
Yeah.
And hitting your sustainability targets.
Absolutely.
But the problem is
yeah.
the survey found that a lot of organizations don't have a very good handle
right.
on their asset information.
So their asset registers.
Right.
Aren't great.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something we need to come back to.
Yeah, we are.
Hi.
So that gives us a good overview of the kind of big picture.
Of the landscape, yeah.
Now, let's look at some of the specifics.
Okay.
What are the biggest challenges
right.
that FM teams are facing right now, according to the report?
Okay, well, the one that came up again and again
yeah.
in the survey was budget constraints.
Yeah.
This is a problem across the whole sector,
yeah.
but it seems to be particularly acute
okay.
in education and the public sector.
Yeah, and the report talked about deferred maintenance.
Yes.
As being something that's kind of a consequence
of
these tight budgets.
Yeah.
So explain to me, why is that such a big problem?
Well, it might seem like a good idea in the short term.
Yeah.
You know, when you need to cut costs, you think, well, we can put that maintenance off for a bit.
Right.
But the problem is,
yeah.
if you leave things too long, they just get worse.
Right.
And more expensive to fix.
And the report actually cited a statistic from the National Audit Office
yeah.
that said that delaying backlog maintenance can increase costs by over 1.5 times.
Yeah, I saw that.
Within 2 to 4 years.
It's quite shocking, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's like ignoring a small leak
yeah.
in your plumbing. It might seem okay for a while, but...
Yeah, but eventually.
Yeah, eventually it's going to cause a huge problem.
Exactly.
So what's another one of the big challenges?
Another one that's closely linked to that is aging infrastructure.
Okay.
And again, this is a particular problem in areas like education and healthcare.
Right.
Where a lot of the buildings are quite old and in need of, you know, quite urgent repairs and upgrades.
And that's often because there hasn't been that kind of strategic long-term asset management in place.
Exactly.
Has there?
Yeah. And that's coming back to bite people now.
So really, it's a failure to plan for the future.
Yeah, I think so.
That's causing a lot of these yeah. issues.
Yes.
And then on top of that, we've got a growing problem with staffing shortages.
Yeah. This is a big one.
Yeah.
It's not just traditional FM skills that are in short supply.
Right.
You know, your plumbers, electricians, mm. things like that.
Yeah.
It's also things like technology and sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a real shortage of people with the skills to implement new systems.
Right.
And manage energy efficiency and all of that.
And so that means that the people who are there are under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And really stretched.
Yeah. And then there's the whole issue of regulatory compliance.
Yeah.
Which we touched on earlier.
And this is a big challenge for a lot of organizations, just keeping up with the constant changes in legislation.
And in fact, the report actually said that 77% of respondents find compliance at least a moderate challenge.
Yeah, that's a big number, isn't it?
It's huge.
And, you know, it's not just about knowing the rules either. It's
right.
about having the resources and the processes in place to yeah. actually implement them properly.
And then the last of the top challenges that the report mentions is technology integration.
Yeah.
So we've talked about how digital tools are seen as a potential solution, but actually getting them up and running
right.
seems to be a big obstacle.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So what are some of the specific difficulties there?
Well, as I said, the initial cost is obviously a big factor.
Yeah.
But also things like a lack of in-house expertise.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of organizations just don't have the people yeah. on staff who know how to implement these new technologies.
And also just the resistance to change that you see in any organization.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So we've talked about compliance being the number one priority. Right. But then we've just heard that a huge proportion of people find it challenging.
Yeah.
That seems like a bit of a contradiction.
It does, doesn't it?
So what's going on there?
Well, I think it's possible that some organizations are overestimating
okay.
who compliant they actually are.
So they think they're doing okay.
Yeah.
But when you really dig down, they're not.
Maybe, yeah.
And the report did actually say that 63% of respondents feel somewhat or very confident
yeah.
in their organization's ability to comply.
Mm-hmm.
But given the challenges that they're facing,
right?
Do you think that confidence is justified?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible that there's a gap between perception and reality.
Yeah, it's a bit like saying, you know, I'm confident that I'm eating healthily, but you're not
Yeah,
actually,
not tracking what you
you're not tracking what you eat
take your
exactly.
bags.
And what were some of the specific pain points that the report mentioned
Right.
around compliance?
Well, a lot of people talked about the difficulty of staying up to date with all the legislation.
Okay.
You know, the rules are constantly changing.
Yeah.
And it's a full-time job just to keep track of everything.
Yeah, and there's the cost involved as well, in terms of managing compliance internally.
Yeah, that can be significant.
And also just the difficulty of balancing that with all their other,
Absolutely. A lot to
right.
ask of one team.
Yeah, and it's not just about knowing that the laws exist, is it?
It's about knowing what your specific responsibilities are,
Right.
and understanding who the duty holders are in your organization.
And the report actually referenced a BIASA study, which found that while 88% of people are aware of the Building Safety Act,
Oh.
only 1 in 10 actually understand their duty holder roles.
So there's a real gap there
There is.
between awareness and understanding.
Yeah, and that's a bit like saying, you know, I know there's a law about wearing seatbelts, but I don't realize that I'm the one who's supposed to be wearing them.
Right. It's not going to change your behavior.
Exactly.
So how are organizations actually trying to stay on top of all these changes?
What are they doing?
Well, the most popular approach,
Yeah.
according to the survey, is providing regular training
Okay.
and updates for their staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second most popular approach is to bring in external consultants.
Right. So they're recognizing that they don't have the expertise in-house.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But what about the ones who aren't doing either of those things?
Right.
What about the ones who are just ignoring it?
Well, there were a few people in the survey
Yeah.
who admitted to not doing anything.
And that's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because ignoring compliance isn't just a legal risk, it's a safety risk.
Oh, absolutely.
So what does SFG20 actually recommend that organizations should be doing?
Well, one of the key things they say is that compliance needs to be on the agenda at every executive team meeting.
Right, so it needs to be a top-level priority.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
can't just be left to the FM team.
And they also recommend using the SFG20 industry standard.
Yes.
Which is actually available through their Facilities IQ software.
Yeah, that's right.
And this standard is kept up to date with legislation. So it's a really good way to make sure
Yeah, it's a good framework.
you're doing the right things.
Absolutely.
What else do they recommend?
They also suggest that organizations should consider getting an independent third-party audit.
Right, so to kind of get an objective view
Yeah,
to how they're doing.
exactly.
Yeah.
And they also say that it's really important to make sure that staff have the right skills and knowledge.
So regular training.
Yeah, continuing professional development,
Yeah.
all of that,
Yeah, absolutely.
so that they're keeping up to date with the latest regulations.
So let's move on now to another big area of pressure, which is reducing operational costs. And we said earlier that this is the second biggest priority.
Yeah, after compliance.
Yeah, after compliance. So why is there this huge focus on cutting costs right now?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors.
Uh-huh.
As we said, budget constraints are the number one challenge
Right.
across the whole industry.
Yeah.
And this is probably being made worse by the current economic climate. And also the fact that buildings are getting more and more expensive to maintain,
Right.
especially these older buildings.
And they need more frequent maintenance.
Exactly,
Yeah.
more expensive maintenance.
And the survey actually asked respondents about how their budgets have changed over the past year. And what did they find?
Well, it's not good news.
Okay.
A huge proportion, 69%,
Wow.
reported either no change or a decrease
In their budgets.
in their budgets.
So that's a lot of FM teams who are operating with
Under real pressure.
very, very tight budgets. And the report also hinted that some FM teams might not be very good at arguing for the funding that they need.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
So why do you think that is?
Well, I think sometimes FM teams can be quite inward-looking.
Okay.
You know, they focus on the day-to-day operational stuff,
Yeah.
and they're not very good at communicating
All right.
the strategic importance of what they do,
Yeah.
to the wider organization.
So they're not speaking the language of business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're not making the business
All
case
right.
for investment.
And SFG20 actually provides some resources to help FM teams do this better, doesn't
Yeah,
it?
they too.
They've got an ebook specifically on business case
That's right.
resources.
Yeah, it's designed to complement their software, but the principles in it are really useful for any FM team who's trying to make the case for investment.
So given all these tight budgets, where are organizations planning to increase their budgets, if at all?
Well, unsurprisingly, the areas with the highest planned increases are maintenance and repairs.
Okay.
And compliance and safety.
Makes sense.
Given what we've talked about.
And technology is on the list as well, but further down.
Right.
Interestingly, staff training and development was the least prioritized area.
Which seems a bit counterintuitive.
It does a bit, doesn't it?
You know, if you're trying to implement new technologies.
Yeah, you'd think.
Deal with all these regulations, you'd think having a...
Yeah, you'd think your people would be...
A well-trained team would be pretty important.
Yeah, top of the list, really.
But it seems like it's being overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, I think the danger is that organizations are focusing too much on the short-term savings.
Right.
And they're not thinking about the long-term consequences.
So they might save a bit of money by not training their staff.
Exactly.
But then they're going to find that they can't actually implement the technology. It's sad.
Or keep up with the regulation.
And then it ends up costing them more in the long run.
Yeah, so it's a false economy.
Yeah.
And all this pressure on budgets.
Right.
These increased workloads. It's all having an impact on FM teams themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
And the report had some pretty worrying statistics about staffing levels.
It did.
What'd they find?
A massive 80% of respondents said that their teams are understaffed.
So that's the vast majority.
It is, yeah.
Of FM teams.
And nearly a quarter said they were significantly understaffed.
So they're really stretched.
Yeah, completely stretched.
What are the consequences of that?
Well, it means that individuals are having to work much harder, longer hours, you know, which can lead to stress and burnout.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it affects the quality of the work.
Right.
You know, if people are constantly firefighting, they don't have time to do things properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the report also raises concerns about whether organizations are actually able to do all the essential maintenance tasks that they need to do.
Because they just don't have the people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So again, it increases the risk of noncompliance.
Right.
And, you know, accidents further down the line.
Yeah. So what does SFG 20 recommend that organizations should do to address this problem?
Well, they say that the first step is to create what they call a target operating model.
Okay.
And this is basically a blueprint
for
how the FM function should operate.
Right.
You know, what kind of resources it needs.
Yeah.
What processes should be in place.
Yeah.
And they also say that it's really important to have good data.
Right.
You know, to understand what information you need to collect, how to analyze it.
So you can measure your performance.
Exactly. And and benchmark against other organizations.
And that kind of data is really powerful when you're trying to make the case.
Yeah, it is.
For more resources.
It gives you the evidence you need.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
To go to your senior management and say,
yeah,
look, we need more people.
We need more money.
We need more investment.
And the third thing they recommend is to build a really strong business case.
Yes.
For any funding that you need.
As we said earlier, this is something that FM teams aren't always very good at, but it's absolutely essential.
And finally, they say you need to prioritize statutory maintenance tasks.
Yes.
Even if you're short-staffed, these are the things that have to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
To make sure you're compliant and safe.
It's about understanding what your risk appetite is as well.
Right.
And making sure that you're managing the most critical risks.
Okay, so let's talk about technology now.
Okay.
The report said that while CFM systems are fairly widely used, newer technologies like IoT and AI aren't being used so much yet.
Yeah, that's right.
So what does that tell us about the state of digital transformation?
Well, I think it shows that the industry is still in the early stages of digital transformation.
Right.
So CIFM systems, which help you manage things like maintenance schedules, they're pretty common.
Yeah.
More advanced technologies like IoT sensors and AI, they're still not being used as much.
So we're not seeing those kind of smart buildings?
No, not yet.
Everywhere yet.
You're not in a widespread way.
And what do you think is holding back a wider adoption?
Well, cost is obviously a big factor, as we've said.
Yeah.
But also a lack of internal expertise.
Right.
A lot of organizations just don't have the people on staff who know how to implement and manage these technologies.
And also just people being resistant to change.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's hard to get people.
It's hard to change the way.
To change the way they do things.
People do things, yeah.
And the report also mentioned this disconnect between
yeah.
recognizing the importance of digital transformation
mm-hmm.
and actually doing it.
So over half of respondents said that digital transformation was highly important.
Right.
But then the adoption rates are still quite low.
So why do you think that gap exists?
Well, I think it's partly because people are still waiting to see what the real benefits are.
Yeah.
You know, they need to see some concrete evidence
right.
that these technologies can actually deliver.
So they need to see some case studies
exactly.
of other organizations who have done it successfully.
Some real world examples.
Yeah. And made it work.
Yeah.
And what does SFG 20 recommend that organizations should do
okay.
to kind of close that gap?
Well, they say that it's really important to showcase the benefits of technology, you know, through case studies and examples.
Yeah.
They also suggest identifying what they call pathfinders.
Okay.
So these are organizations who have already successfully implemented
right.
new technologies.
So kind of leading the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can share their knowledge and experience.
Yeah. Peer-to-peer learning can be really effective.
And then the third thing they recommend is to develop a digital roadmap.
Yes.
So a clear plan.
A strategic plan.
For how you're going to use technology.
Exactly. Not just doing things in a piecemeal way,
yeah.
but having an overall strategy.
And they also say that it's important to prioritize high impact technologies.
Yes.
So things that are going to deliver quick wins.
Quick wins, yeah.
And generate some early savings.
And those savings can then be reinvested.
Right.
In further digital transformation.
So it's kind of a snowball effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, they say that you need to make sure that your staff
yeah.
have the right skills.
Yeah. Training
yeah.
is really important.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's move on now to sustainability.
Okay.
And this is a really big topic.
It is, yeah.
We talked earlier about how the built environment is a huge contributor
yeah.
to global emissions.
40% of global emissions now, come from buildings.
And FM has a big role to play in reducing that impact.
Yeah, a huge role to play.
Yeah.
30% of those emissions come from the operation of buildings.
Right.
So that's the bit that FM is directly responsible for.
So the survey actually asked organizations what they were doing in terms of sustainability.
Yeah.
What did they find?
Well, the most common things were things like upgrading lighting
okay.
And HVAC systems.
And so making them more energy efficient.
More energy efficient, yeah.
Yeah.
And also adopting renewable energy sources.
Like solar panels.
Like solar panels, yeah.
But things like water conservation
right.
were less common.
Yeah, so there's definitely some areas
yeah.
where more could be done.
And quite worryingly, a small percentage of respondents said they weren't doing anything at all.
Yeah, that's a concern, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I mean, hopefully that number will decrease
yeah.
as time goes on.
Yeah.
But it's not a good sign.
And the report also looked at how much organizations are budgeting for sustainability. What did they find?
Well, most organizations are only allocating a small percentage
okay.
of their budget to sustainability.
So less than 10%.
Yeah, the most common range was 0 to 10%.
So it's not really a top priority.
Well, I don't think it is for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, some organizations are doing a lot.
Yeah.
But for others, it's clearly not top of the list.
And a lot of respondents didn't even know
yeah.
what their budget was.